Invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Let me encourage you not only to open your Bibles, but to keep them open. We're going to be working our way through this passage of Scripture this morning. We're going to be focusing for the next this week and next 3 weeks on one particular verse, but it's always important to see whatever verse we're dealing with in the context of other verses in the Bible. So let us begin our reading at verse 2. Verse 2, and we'll read through verse 7. Hear now the word of God. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, upon them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased the nation. You have increased the nation's joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as in the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This morning we focus on verse 6. For unto us a child is born. That's his humanity. Unto us a son is given. That's his deity. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Again, let me ask you to keep your Bibles open. Let us look to God in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the names by which you reveal yourself and your work to us. We pray that each name you bear will be a blessing that you share and one that we not only claim, one that changes our lives as your word and spirit work together. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful Counselor. When most people hear the word counselor, the image in our mind, especially in the therapeutic age in which we live, the image is that of a therapist that helps us with emotional, mental, and relational issues. I read the other day about an automated telephone answering service at a counseling center. Now, if you call this counseling center, there's a pre-recorded message that comes on, and it runs something like this. Hello, this is Central Mississippi Counseling Center. Please listen carefully to the following instructions. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 and keep pressing 1 again and again. If you are codependent, ask someone else to press 2. If you have multiple personality disorder, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you're paranoid, do not press a button. Just stay on the line for 30 seconds. We are tracing this call. Menu continues. If you're schizophrenic, listen carefully, and a small voice will tell you which button to press. And if you suffer from low self-esteem, hang up because our operators are too busy to talk to you. Now, even though you may not want to do business with this particular counseling center, the fact of the matter is, because we live in a fallen world with so much potential to chew us up and spit us out, a world where people hurt us, a world where we hurt other people, a world where we suffer from relational issues, there is every possibility that you will at some point in your life, and maybe at many points in your life, want to talk to a Christian therapist. As a matter of fact, far more Christians need to take their emotional and relational issues to a good Christian therapist or counselor. It's a great place to start. But what you need to know, though, as we look at this particular title of Christ, is even though Jesus is the ultimate answer to whatever emotional issues you face in this life, the text we have open before us this morning is not telling us that Jesus is our wonderful therapist. See, the context, the setting of this text is not psychological. The context of this text is political. These verses are about kings and kingdoms and nations and wars and thrones and government. Look at verse 6 and 7. It says, of the increase of his government, verse 7, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, uphold it with righteousness and justice. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. You see, all these names tell of a future Messiah who we now know has come to this planet in time and space and history. We know he's coming again to planet Earth in the future. See, these names in verse 6 are names ascribed to a king. And where there's a king, there's a kingdom. These names are telling us the ways that Jesus exercises his lordship. See, these names are about Jesus' control, his authority, his presence. Now, if you read about great rulers down through the ages, emperors and kings and prime ministers and presidents, you discover that something every good ruler has in common, and that's this. All great kings, all great rulers surround themselves in times of war and in times of peace with wise counselors. Historians say one of the reasons Queen Elizabeth was such a great ruler was because of the wisdom of her counselors. The queen chose two men who were astute, fearless, utterly loyal to the queen and to the country of England. The men's names were William Cecil and Francis Walsingham. These men always told Queen Elizabeth what they thought was best both for the crown and the country, even if what they said made her furious. And these men were often the targets of the queen's infamous temper. When things went south, the queen would throw these counselors under the bus time after time after time. But when William Cecil died, here's what Queen Elizabeth said, and I quote, "No prince in Europe ever had such a counselor." And friends, Jesus is that kind of counselor. You see, our Lord has a perfect understanding of you, the circumstances of your life, the battles you fight. And this Jesus mentioned in this verse has a wondrous kingdom plan for your life. But here's the catch. Only if you listen and work with Jesus and not against him. You see, Jesus knows what he's doing. Jesus is making all the right decisions. Jesus sees the big picture. You're in that big picture. So you can trust Jesus. You can follow Jesus. You can do life Jesus' way. This morning, as we consider this child who is born 100% human, the Son who is given 100% divine, let's consider what it means this morning for you and I to embrace Jesus as our wonderful counselor. Let's look at that. We'll look at it under two headings. Notice in the first place, the fallen world into which our wonderful counselor comes. That's the first consideration. Let's consider the fallen world into which our wonderful counselor comes. Look at verse 2. Here's a description of the world. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. When Isaiah speaks these words, it's into a very dark time politically and spiritually in the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, this national dark time is something we can all relate to. Right here, right now, in the good old United States of America. You see, this nation of Israel at this time, this nation that Isaiah is prophesying to, listen to this, they're divided. Sound familiar? They're on the verge of civil war. Sound familiar? They're surrounded by enemies who wanted to destroy them. See any parallels? So what does Israel do? Well, Israel turns to politics for the solution. Signing treaties, making alliances with other nations to protect herself. The northern kingdom gets all treatified with Syria. Southern kingdom makes an alliance with Egypt. And so through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says to his people, don't go there. Quit relying on other nations. Quit relying on political strategies, fallen governments. Quit relying on other people to solve your problems. Lord says, come to me. Depend upon me. I'm not intimidated by superpowers or supreme courts or presidents or political parties or pundits, public opinions. They count for nothing to me. I'm the Lord. I am for you. I will deliver you. I will work out your problems. It will be for my glory. It will be for your ultimate good. And what does Israel say? Thanks, but no thanks. Oh, yes, we believe Messiah is coming in the future. But you know what? Right now, we need a plan B to bank on, just in case. So we're going to do things our way. We're going to follow our own counsel. And the results, as you know, are disastrous for Israel. Friends, because of the sin that affects and infects everything, you need to realize we live every day of our lives in a fallen world. And because our world is fallen into sin, we live in dark times. This past week, almost every time I turn on the evening news, I can feel the darkness. That darkness is broadcasted live and in living color into our lives, into our hearts. Every newscast you hear is a posted reminder. Locally, nationally, we live in a fallen world. We live in threatening times. The storm clouds are gathering. And the question we all have to answer in times like these is this: who is my wonderful counselor? See, Jesus is born into a fallen world. And the one whose incarnation we celebrate in just 25 days is the wonderful counselor of his people. You need to settle that in your heart today, every day of your life. In these dark and difficult days, are you willing to say, Jesus, first and foremost, is my wonderful counselor? That's the first consideration. Now, we're going to spend most of our time in this second consideration. Consider with me in the first place, having considered the world into which the wonderful counselor comes, notice in the second place the strategy our wonderful counselor gives us for living. That's the second consideration. What is the strategy our wonderful counselor gives us for living? Now, there is a strategy, but here's the catch. Here it is. This strategy runs counterclockwise to our natural instincts. This strategy we're about to look at takes you and me out of the driver's seat. This strategy forces us to face our fears and trust God. What we have here in verse 4, notice that last phrase, "You have broken as in the day of Midian." There is a connection between the coming of Messiah and a historical event in Israel's life, the day of Midian. Let's take a brief trip now down memory lane to the book of Judges. When it is said that people did their own thing, there was no king in Israel. And since people did not want anyone telling them what to do, including God, for 7 years, God allowed Israel to be dominated by a group of people called the Midianites, a group of people much like ISIS is today, a group of people who would sweep through farms and villages and pillage and plunder until the Israelites were reduced to poverty. Dark days. And then in the middle of these dark days, there's this very unlikely hero in the nation of Israel by the name of Gideon. What's Gideon's strategy? Here it is. Keep your head down. Stay off the Midianites' radar. Take care of your own. That's the strategy. So one day the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Gideon goes, the Lord is with us, then why are all these bad things happening to us? Lord's reply is very telling. He doesn't answer the question. Lord says, get up, go in my strength, save Israel from the Midianites. Of course he's willing. No. Basically, Gideon says, whoa, not me. I'm a nobody from Nowheresville, from a nothing family. And besides, who will go with me to fight the Midianites? Where are these people that's going to support me? So word gets out. Before too long, 32,000 men gather. Great. Midianite armies still outnumber the Israelite armies 5-1. You know what God says? Does he say we're going to get more men? He says, no, got too many men. If you're going to win, you need to say, you know, if you win with these men, you're going to say, look at what we did. So here's what you do. Gideon, tell all the men who are afraid to fight, hey, you're free to go home. So out of the 32,000 men, 22,000 cowards walk away. That leaves Gideon with 10,000 fighting men. What does the Lord say? Still too many. Take these 10,000 men down the river, and based on the way these men drink water, if these men run down and scoop it out and keep running, they stay in the army. If they get on their knees and drink water, they're kicked off. So, from these 10,000 fighters, God chooses 300 men. And he says, now Gideon, go fight with these 300 men. Think about that for a moment. 300 Israeli soldiers. Well, 301, including Gideon. 160,000 Midianites. So what happens? So Gideon, 300 men, go to the valley. The Midianites are camping. Bible says they were thick as locusts. Their camels like grains of sand on the seashore. Night falls. Gideon divides the 300 men. 100 here, 100 here, 100 here. They surround this huge Midianite camp. Now, each of these men are given three items. Here they are. Think about what great fighting weapons we have here. One clay jar, a burning torch, and a trumpet each. That's God's plan. When the signal's given, the men smash their jars, they hold up their torches, they pick up their trumpets, they blow the trumpets, and then they shout. That's it. What happens is this. The Midianites come stumbling out of their tents. They see the lights in the hills. They hear the shouts and trumpets and jars shattering. The Midianites panic. They start rioting. They kill each other. And without one single Israelite casualty, the Midianites are defeated in a slam dunk route. Now think again about Gideon's personal strategy. Hunker down, take care of your own. Or if you have to fight the enemy, go big. God gives another strategy, and here it is. Trust me, follow my plan. Sound like a hymn, you know? Trust and obey. And when Gideon trusted the Lord, when he followed the Lord's plan, there's deliverance, there's victory. God's kingdom advances. Now, what does the counsel of the Lord look like for those dark times of our lives? You know those times when storm clouds, financial, relational, physical, emotional storm clouds gather? What is the Lord telling you to do this morning that is the polar opposite of what you're thinking? You're facing a financial crisis. You're drowning in a sea of red ink. You're going down for the third time. What does the Lord say? Bring 10% of your income plus more to me. Support the kingdom work of the church. Or perhaps you know someone who is being difficult and aggressive towards you, and the Lord says, you know, you want to go blow them away. Lord says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Do good to those who mistreat you. Lord, I was thinking about revenge. Or, you know, you've wronged somebody this week. You've hurt somebody with your words. But you know, if I say I'm sorry and I'm wrong, and will you forgive me? That's going to make me look weak. So I'm going to do like every other leader does. I'm going to dig in, I'm going to defend myself, and I'm going to counterattack whoever accuses me of being mean and doing the wrong thing. It's what you see all the time with our leaders. They dig in, they defend themselves, and whoever's attacking them, boy, they'll attack them right back. Friends, we face these issues every day of our lives. We know what the Lord wants us to do. But let's just confess, we don't trust the Lord enough to follow His counsel. Instead, we trust our own strategies. What the church has done too long. We're wondering now, why is God's kingdom stagnated? Why is the influence of the church almost negligible right now? I mean, how many people did you pass going to church today? Why is Christianity shrinking? Well, let me ask you this. Why in the world should God's kingdom advance when we fail to follow the counsel of the King? Friends, the kingdom advances. Lord says in His prayer, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we really believe Jesus has come, He's come to set things right by taking care of the core problem in this world, the problem of sin. Kingdom advances when we believe one day Jesus will return. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. Sin will be burned away and righteousness will be here to stay. The kingdom advances when we realize, hear this, if you hear nothing else. The kingdom advances when we realize Jesus is the only Savior we need. Let me ask you this. If Jesus is all we need to get through this life, to get into eternity, then why, when it comes to the nitty-gritty problems of life, do we turn to other saviors? One author calls these type of situations and people and issues functional saviors. Why do we listen to the counsel of anyone besides our wonderful counselor? Give you a few for instances. You have an opportunity to advance in your business, whatever that business is. All you have to do is cut a few corners, compromise, engage in some, you know, questionable business practices, and you'll go far. You'll go right up the ladder. Our wonderful counselor says this, "Do not disobey my commands. Not even for the sake of advancing your business." So the question is, in your business, who is the Savior? The Savior is the one whose counsel you follow. Or you're in a relationship with someone, boyfriend, girlfriend, friend, neighbor, anyone. It begins to look like that relationship is conditional upon you compromising. Compromising something to stay in the good graces of the person you want to relate to. Are you going to resist when your significant other is giving you counsel contrary to what Christ says? Friends, I'll tell you right now, if your goal is to make sure people like you, accept you, and want to be your friend, if that's your goal, your Savior will be those significant others, not Jesus. Counsel of the Fallen World says this, somebody wronged you or one of yours, get revenge. Call it justice. Burn down buildings, smash windows, plunder businesses, burn cars, steal stuff. And by all means, as you're doing that, complain about how unjust and how broken the system is. If you're a Christian and tempted to follow that mob, here's what your wonderful counselor says, and I would love to say this. Your wonderful counselor says to all those rioters who claim to be Christians, forgive. Absorb the debt. Yes, you were wronged. Absorb the debt. And remember, you sin against God every day. You offend God every day. You have built up a mountain range of Mount Everest debt of sin against God. And what did your Savior do? What did Jesus do? On the cross, Christ absorbed your debt of sin. If Christ was willing to do that for you, why don't you follow the counsel of Jesus and absorb whatever lesser debt of sin someone owes you? Friends, when you fail to forgive, revenge is your Savior, not Jesus. You see, in every struggle you face, every one of life's battles, you have a choice. Follow the wonderful counsel of your wonderful counselor, or follow someone else's counsel. But please, I urge you this morning, as you look at that counsel, look behind that counsel to who is giving that counsel. Look behind it and know, even if you profess to be a Christian, whoever it is that's giving you that counsel is your functional Savior. That is your Lord. Because if the Lord is your Savior, you're listening to His counsel in His Word. The one whose counsel you follow, that is your Lord, that is your Savior. Beloved, I urge you today and every day to look beyond the counsel you receive, to consider who your counselor is. First and foremost, and always in a fallen world, in every struggle, in every spiritual battle, I encourage you to consider Christ. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the only person who is wonderful enough to be your counselor is Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, help us to realize in every situation of life, every single situation, we come to a decision intersection and we have to decide who is going to be our Lord and Savior. Is it going to be what we think we should do? Or is it going to be what You have told us to do? Lord, help us in the working out of the implications of our salvation to follow the words of Jesus, because He is the only one who is wonderful enough to give us the counsel we need. And help us to realize we can't just do that. We can't just do that. We have to rely upon You. We have to admit that we cannot do this on our own. Lord, help us this week in the power of Your Spirit and the guidance of Your counsel to do what You would have us to do, to follow Your counsel. And help us to realize when we do that, we will see a difference in our church, in our family, in our jobs, in our schools, and in this nation and world. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.